translation and purport by His Divine Grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki. The gopis spoke thus, "Dear Lord, whose navel is just like a lotus flower, your lotus feet are the only shelter for those who have fallen into the deep well of material existence. Your feet are worshipped and meditated upon by great mystic yogis and highly learned philosophers. We wish that these lotus feet may also be awakened within our hearts, although we are only ordinary persons engaged in household affairs." This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.82.48. The gopis were never interested in karma yoga, jnana yoga, or dhyana yoga. They were simply interested in bhakti yoga, unless they were forced. They never liked to meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord. Rather, they preferred to take the lotus feet of the Lord and place them on their breasts. Sometimes they regretted that their breasts were so hard, oh my Lord, fearing that Krishna might not be very pleased to might not be very pleased to keep his soft lotus feet there. When those lotus feet were pricked by the grains of sand in the Vrindavan pasturing ground, the gopis were pained and began to cry. The gopis wanted to keep Krishna at home always. And in this way, their minds were absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Such pure Krishna consciousness can arise only in Vrindavan and Bhaktivinoda Manor. Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to explain his own mind, which was saturated in the ecstasy of the gopis. Translation, once again, do kindly repeat. The gopis spoke thus. Dear Lord, whose navel is just like a lotus flower, your lotus feet are the only shelter for those who have fallen into the deep well of material existence. Your feet are worshipped and meditated upon by great mystic yogis and highly learned philosophers. We wish that these lotus feet may also be awakened within our hearts, although we are only ordinary persons engaged in household affairs. Jai Om Gyanati Midandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastarya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschasade Satarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasati Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchakalpa Trubasya Kripa Sindhu Bhayavacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Dear devotees, seeking the blessings and the mercy of all the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord, assembled and unassembled, so that I might be able to say something meaningful in literally 16 minutes. But dear devotees, we're coming towards over halfway through this chapter, and it's an amazing chapter. I mean, in the last several weeks, we've had incredible speakers. Yes, Prabhu. Sorry? Oh, I do. Oh, wonderful, isn't it? It's Saturday, isn't it? Oh, great, great. Okay, you don't mind that, do you? 46, thank you. Okay, I thought it was my 8:30. Thank you. Dhammadhar Prabhu. So the ecstatic dancing of the Lord at Rath Yatra. Who's been to Puri? Yes, of course. There was one of our devotees. His name is Aniruddha Prabhu. Aniruddha Prabhu is an Englishman. He's from Wolverhampton. He got onto the cart on Rath Yatra day. Now, this is a white-bodied devotee. And, you know, someone like me can never go anywhere near there. And I've got a brown body. Anyway, he got on there right next to Lord Jagannath. How he managed it, unknown. But he did it. This was Aniruddha Prabhu. So the quick Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki Jai Shri Shri Sitarama Lakshman Hanuman ki Jai Gonitai Bhagwan ki Jai Jagat Guru Shila Prabhupada ki Jai. So in summary of this chapter of ours, chapter 13, the summary has been given by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Amrita Prabhabhasya, and that's as follows. After bathing early in the morning, I suppose all of us bathe early in the morning, don't we? After bathing early in the morning, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the deities Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra. So we can meditate upon, on the right-hand side where Lord Ramchandra is situated, once upon a time, Lord Jagannath was there. So he meditated, the Lord meditates on the deities of Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra, and get aboard their three carts. This function is called Pandu Vijay. At that time, King Patra Purudra took a broom with a golden handle and began to cleanse the road. Lord Jagannath took permission from the goddess of fortune and then started in the car for the Gundicha temple. The road to the temple led along a broad sandy beach. Anyone been to Jagannath Puri beach? It's the best beach in the universe, the cleanest. If you haven't swam in that ocean, you must do so. And on both sides of the road were residential quarters, houses and gardens. Along that road, the servants called godas began to pull the cars. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu divided his Sankirtan party into 7 divisions. With 2 mridangas in each division, there were altogether 14 mridangas. While performing kirtan, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited various symptoms of transcendental ecstasy. And Jagannath and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exchanged their feelings very blissfully. When the cars reached the place known as Balgandhi, the devotees offered the deities simple food. How can Jagannath have simple food? But such is the case. At that time, in a nearby garden, as we know, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees took a brief rest from the dancing. They're continuously dancing and finally they take a brief rest. So that's the summary which has been given to us. The chapter has a total of 209 verses. So we're above halfway through. We see that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he gives us the 108 names of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And these are famous verses. There are in total 22 verses. And the 11th one is quite significant because it kind of describes the Lord's dancing. It's mentioned Gauranga, the Lord, Gauranga is absorbed in the greatest bliss. He behaves as a dramatic actor. He behaves as a dramatic actor and is fond of dancing. I'm not particularly fond of dancing because I kind of find it exhausting and I can't really dance at all. But the Lord's dancing is quite intriguing, blissful. So he's fond of dancing, singing, and chanting the holy names. He is a learned scholar and a poet, the supreme poet. He is dear to those who are suffering. Oh, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, my suffering. So I hope he's dear to me. He is dear to those who are suffering. He is meticulously clean and spotlessly pure. He confers ecstatic loving emotions. He is intimate with the great devotees. Intimate with the great devotees. So in the descriptions of these verses are quite profound, and we could just spend, you know, such a long time going through all these descriptions, but I'd probably fall asleep. The dancing of the Lord, the descriptions, if you look at the Chaitanya Mangal, which I find quite Garun, the Chaitanya Mangal is Garun, is Gambhir. It's transcendentally depressing. Karun means, it's a Gujarati word, it's kind of heavy, each description, but the blissful side of it is that there are many descriptions given of when Mahaprabhu dances. Anyone come across the Mangal, Chaitanya Mangal? I mean, I read it years ago and I kind of try to worship it now. But there's the dancing of the Lord, the description given, and specifically in Sribhasangan. Sribhasangan is where, Sribhasangan is the home of the Lord, even though it is the home of, you know, Sribhas Thakur. Anyone not been there? So you've all been there. Everyone's been to Sribhasangan. Wow, wonderful, isn't it? So Lord Nityananda's dancing is described, and Mahaprabhu's dancing is described as well. Lord Nityananda, for him, that is his true home. And he goes there for lunch, and Malini Devi cooks virtually every day. Malini Devi is the consort of Sribhas Thakur, and she's incredibly motherly. To the extent that Lord Nityananda, he would just mother her. There are times when Nityananda, being absorbed, being observed by Mahaprabhu, Nityananda will just dive into the Ganges, and the Ganges overflowing, and there are crocodiles 10, 15 feet long. And the Lord is wrestling with these crocs. But in the method of wrestling, he's literally dancing with these crocodiles. Of course, for everyone else, they're having a heart attack. They're thinking, oh my God, what's the Lord doing? But this is what Nityananda does. And Mahaprabhu just sits at a distance and he just looks at the dancing of Nityananda with the crocodiles, the wrestling and the dancing. And eventually when the Lord kind of has enough, he comes out. And he walks towards Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu says, okay, now have you had enough fun? You remove your kopins. And so, you know, because he's wet. And Mahaprabhu would give him his chadar. And Nityananda would remove his kopin. Mahaprabhu would then strip the piece of cloth and distribute that to the devotees who are present. Such are the activities of Lord Nityananda. And Lord Nityananda would then say, well, I'm hungry now after that battle with the crocs and the dancing that I've done. And he would then go into the house, and Malini Devi would prepare and have ready an entire chappan bhog. And the Lord would then feast upon that. Of course, there are many descriptions given to us, but in the purport of our verse 136, the reference, this is the verse from 1082 to 48. The 10th canto has 90 chapters, so this is towards the end of the Bhagavatam, the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. And the purport is quite elaborate, and I thought I should share that with all of you here. The translation and the word meanings of this verse are taken from Srila Prabhupada's English rendering of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 181, where this verse is quoted once again, revealing the jealous mood in which the gopis spoke these deceptively reverential words. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur gives their statements as follows. O Supreme Lord, this is the purport to verse 48. Incidentally, it's the last verse of that chapter of 82. And the purport is, O Supreme Lord, O directly manifest super soul, O crest jewel of instructors in definitive knowledge, you were aware of our excessive attachment to home, property, and family. Therefore, you previously had Uddhava instruct us in the knowledge that dispels ignorance, and now you have done so yourself. In this way, you have purified our hearts of contamination. And as a result, we understand your pure love for us, free from any motivation other than assuring our liberation. But we are only unintelligent cowherd women. The gopis are saying, unintelligent cowherd women. How can this knowledge remain fixed in our hearts? We cannot even meditate steadily on your feet. The focus of realization for great souls like Lord Brahma. Please be merciful to us and somehow make it possible for us to concentrate on you. Even a little. We are still suffering the reactions of our own fruitive work. How can that be? So how can we meditate on you, the goal of great yogis? Such yogis are immeasurably wise, but we are mere feeble-minded women. Please do something to get us out of this deep well of material life. Gopis are thinking this is material life. Pure devotees are never motivated by a desire for material elevation or spiritual liberation. And even if the Lord offers them such benedictions, the devotees often refuse to accept them. I wouldn't. As stated by Lord Sri Krishna in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Na kinchit subodo dira bhaktya hi ekati no mama vajanti api mayadatam kaivalyam apunarbhavam. This was from the Bhagavatam 11:20-34. And the translation is, because my devotees possess saintly behavior and deep intelligence, they completely dedicate themselves to me and do not desire anything besides me. Indeed, even if I offer them liberation from birth and death, they do not accept it. It is quite appropriate, therefore, that the gopis respond with a trace of jealous anger to Lord Krishna's attempt at teaching them Jnana Yoga. Krishna's trying to teach them Jnana Yoga. Thus, according to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the words the gopis speak in this verse may be interpreted as follows. O son, who directly destroys the darkness of ignorance, we are scorched by the sun rays of this philosophical knowledge. We are chakora birds who can subsist only on the moonlight radiating from your beautiful face. Please come back to Vrindavan with us. This is Rath Yatra, Kurukshetra. Please come back to Vrindavan with us. They're trying to take him back. And of course he must go back. And in this way, bring us back to life. And if he says, then come to Dwarka. There we will enjoy together. They reply that Sri Vrindavan is their home and they are too attached to it for them to take up residence anywhere else. Impossible. Only there, the gopis imply, can Krishna attract them by wearing peacock feathers in his turban and playing enchanting music with his flute. Only by his appearing again in Vrindavan can the gopis be saved. Not by any other kind of meditation on him or theoretical knowledge of the self. And so thus ends the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the 10th canto, 82nd chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Krishna and Balaram Meet the Inhabitants of Vrindavan. So this was the purport of our verse from the Bhagavatam. Now, this entire chapter of 209 verses is all about dancing, isn't it? And who would you, Prabhu, say is the supreme dancer and singer? Who's the supreme dancer and singer? Who would you say? Who? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, someone said Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu, obviously you're going to say that, Mataji. Any other takers, any other offers? Sorry? Vishnu. Yes. Good one, Govinda Prabhu. Prabhus, we are Rupanugas. To us, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Srimati Radharani. She is the supreme dancer and singer. And she makes anyone and everyone dance. Even Kans. Now, Kans is an asura. Well, not an asura, but he's one who's a rogue monarch, who is a typical king. A king who is exceptionally powerful. A king who the asuras and the daitas and the yavanas and all the demoniac forces fall upon his feet. And Srimati Radharani makes him dance. Because this is, you know, this whole chapter is about dancing. So Radharani, one point, Kans Maharaj got to know the glories of Srimati Radharani. Govardhan Mal is the husband of Chandravali. And Chandravali is you know, the first cousin of Srimati Radharani. They're rivals, but they're sisters, they're related, they're first cousins. Their fathers are brothers. And so Govardhan Mal is very close to Kansa. And because of their friendship, Kansa takes less taxation from him particularly. He takes less tax from Abhimanyu, who is seemingly married to Radharani. And so Govardhan Mal then describes the qualities and appearance of Srimati Radharani to Kansa. And Kansa's thinking, I've got to see this beauty. And Govardhan Mal says, well, she's right there. She is in Jabata. If you go there, it's a supremely heavenly place. If you go there, you'll meet her. So, of course, Kansa, you know, he wants to see this amazingly beautiful personality, supreme beauty. And so he takes his entire entourage there. And just in the suburbs of Jabata. Anyone not been to Jabata? Wow. You've been a devotee for so many years. What's the matter with you? It's like a triangle. You've got Nandagaon, Varshana, and in between you've got Jabata. And, you know, I've walked in barefoot in all these places, and it's so relishing. Of course, when, you know, I walked with Rupa Raghunath Prabhu one time, and Pranabandhu Prabhu, you don't walk with them. Pranabandhu Prabhu, you know, is militant when it comes to walking. Well, actually, Shrutidharma Prabhu was even worse. He tortured us. He made us walk and walk and walk. And it was relentless. But anyway, we were walking, and just a foot away from me was a snake went by. But anyway, Jabata in the suburbs is Kishori Kund. And Kansa ended up there, and his whole entourage was there in Kishori Kund. He went into the Kund. Immediately, Srimati Lalita Devi appears. And she asks, so what the heck are you doing here? You're the emperor. This is a mere village. What do you want, O emperor? And he says, well, I have a meeting. I've got a board meeting with Srimati Radharani. Where is she? Who is she? Lalita Devi, she says, well, she doesn't just meet anyone. Do you have an appointment? Are you scheduled? Because she doesn't meet any kings. She doesn't meet any princes. She does not meet any worldly individuals, and she definitely does not meet any men. And you're a man. So how will she meet me? You have to change your appearance. Take a dip in the Kund, after which we'll see. So he enters the Kund, Kishori Kund. And he enters the Kund, and this Herculean monarch becomes an exquisite gopi. And he comes out, and he doesn't realize that his form has changed. He then looks at his reflection in the Kund, and it's changed, and he's disgusted. How is it that I'm a woman? Okay, I may be beautiful, but I don't want to be in this body. He pleads to Lalita Devi, Srimati Lalita, that, you know, I don't want this form. Why am I a gopi? But you want, do you want to meet Srimati Radharani? Yes, but not in this form. Well, she's not going to meet you in any other form. But how can I get back into my previous form? You know, he's got the psyche of a king, but he's got a body of a gopi. It just doesn't go. He's pleading, he's desperate. His entire entourage are blinded by what's happened. his soldiers, his, you know, he's got the whole Akshohini divisions there because he's the emperor. And all of them are blinded. They can't, you know, they can't visualize what's going on. He then says, well, how can I then get my form back? You've trapped me. So Srimati Lalita Devi says, well, only Radharani can bestow you that benediction once again. Take me to her. So off they go. They enter the palace of Abhimanyu. And when Kans, in the form of a gopi, named as Gopi Kans, Gopi Kans, he looks around, or she looks around, and she sees that such opulence in this humble village. And immediately the mind is playing that I've got to increase taxes. He enters the chambers, the inner chambers, and he's then seated on a Vyasasan. Lalita Devi instructs him that you sit. He looks around, and the sheer opulence of this place is incredible. He cannot fathom it. The walls are decked with, you know, exceptionally rare lapis lazuli diamonds and emeralds and rubies and sapphires. The floor has gold within it. And he's thinking that, if what am I doing? You know, I need to really increase taxes here. Every year, sometimes twice a year, Nanda Baba has to make that journey to Mathura to pay tax. And it's all calculated, and it's all, you know, put into the treasury. And so these guys have got a lot of wealth here. He's thinking this. And then he's waiting and waiting, and Srimati Lalita appears once again, and Gopi Kans, he says, well, where's your mistress? And Lalita Devi says, well, you have to wait a little longer, because, you know, you've come unannounced. If you had booked an appointment with us, you know, we would have made the arrangements. You know, she's a very busy individual. She's running the universe. You may be running this puny little planet, but she's running the entire universe. So you have to wait. So eventually, you know, Gopi Kans is waiting, twiddling his thumbs, and eventually Srimati Radharani appears. And Radharani just looks at him, or her rather, because she wouldn't look at him. And Gopi Kans, she says, you're a gopi, so you're meant to dance. Let's see you dance. And he says, but I'm not really a gopi, you know, I'm the emperor. I'm the emperor Kansa. And Srimati Radharani she chuckles. And she says, well, right now you're a gopi. And what gopis do is they dance. So how desperate are you to get back into your form of being the emperor? Oh, no, yeah, I'll do anything. I'll do anything, please. So let's see you dance. And so Kansa, or Gopi Kans, is raising her hands in the air like the Satbhuj there. You see the hands of Lord Ramchandra are up in the air. Krishna's flute and Mahaprabhu's down below the Satbhuj form. So she's got her hands, and she's just moving like this, like the Swami step, and then she comes round the entire chamber, and Lalita Devi is observing this, and she sits down, observing this incredible sight. Srimati Radharani is just in stitches, in one sense. She's just giggling away, where this emperor is being brought down to performing the supreme act, as it were. The supreme act of dancing and singing. Srimati Radharani is the most, she is the epitome of kala, poetry and singing. She is so very expert at these things. because she's the Supreme Person. Eventually, Kans, Gopi Kans, then is told, because the instructions are given, and she stops dancing. And then Radharani, she approaches Radharani, she says to Radharani, "So how can I get my form back? And once I get my form back," he had the audacity to say, "Will you come with me to Mathura?" Radharani says, "There's no way, mate, I'm coming with you to Mathura. But if you want your form back, do not. I have only one condition. Do not send any asuras anywhere near Vrindavan, anywhere near Krishna. If you send any asuras back to Vrindavan, you'll be turned back into a gopi. And you come rushing back here. Do not send any asuras. This is my only condition." And so Srimati Radharani is thinking of Krishna and protecting Krishna. This is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, Purna Purushottam Swayam Bhagwan. But Purna Purushottam Swayam Bhagwan, above him is Radharani, protecting him. So hence, eventually, Gopi Kans agrees, "Fine, I'll do anything. I won't come here. I will not come here in my roop as Kans. I will not send any asuras to annihilate your Krishna. And once I've gone, can you eradicate my memory?" He says this, and Radharani agrees. Radharani then says to him, "Okay, Lalita, Srimati Lalita Devi will escort you back to Kishori Kund. You dip in there again and we'll see what happens. If you're sincere, if you abide by your word, if you make sure you don't break your promise, you may then attain your former form." And he's then content. He is then escorted back to the Kund. He then enters the Kund once again, and the form, the humongous Herculean form of Kans, which is 12 odd feet, possibly even taller, is then granted to him once again. The mind is the same, the form alters, and he then rushes back to Mathura, never to come to Jabata or Vrindavan ever again. And such is the dancing of Srimati Radharani. There are many descriptions of when Krishna even becomes a gopi, Krishna becoming a gopi. On one occasion, the name of the Lord is given as Kalavali. Kalavali is a form of Lord Krishna who becomes a gopi, who dances with Srimati Radharani. In the Chaitanya Mangal, once again, there are many pastimes, and particularly one particular pastimes, Gauranga Mahaprabhu is none other than Srimati Radharani, as we would know, as all of you would know. And in Srimad Sangan, one Shivite enters Srimad Sangan, and this Shivite wants the audience and the darshan of the Lord. He's a Shivite. It was Shivratri on Wednesday? Wednesday. Shivratri. Mahashivratri. And this particular Shivite, he's so ecstatic when observing the dancing of the Lord. Now the dancing, when the Lord dances, it's not like it's public. It's not like it's available to everyone. This is, again, Mahaprabhu is not so merciful. Lord Nityananda, far more merciful. He'll do anything in open. He'll even enter the Ganga, in open. He'll do anything. He becomes far more merciful. But Mahaprabhu hides himself. When he dances in the air and Nityananda has to accompany him, otherwise the Lord may not come down, the devotees can grab the feet of the two lords. And he's dancing in the air. And the Shivite, for some reason, he's been given the opportunity to observe the dancing of the Lord. And he's so much in ecstasy. When the Lord comes down back onto earth, the Shivite is so much in ecstasy because of the mercy of the Lord that he then grabs the Lord and puts him on his shoulders. So if you can imagine this body of this Shivite and Mahaprabhu's legs are dangling down onto the chest and below, and the Lord is dancing on the Shivite. He's going like this. And when he does this, Gauranga Mahaprabhu manifests into Lord Shiva. But the roop of the Lord, the color of the Lord remains the same. The hairstyle changes. And he's holding on one hand the trident, the trishur, and on the other hand, the drum of Lord Shiva. And as he's dancing, and he's moving his wrist like this, he's got his trishur, his trident, and all of a sudden, Nataraj. And this disturbs the entire universe, because now the universal governors, the chieftains of the universe, they're thinking that it's time of partial annihilation. Because Nataraj has appeared, Lord Shiva has appeared and he's dancing. And this is in Shiva Sangan. So the demigods all rush there immediately. And they come there and they're witnessing Mahaprabhu as Lord Shiva, you know, dancing away. And this Shivite is carrying the Lord. And then as soon as Mahaprabhu sees that the demigods have appeared, what the heck are they doing here? This is closed doors. Did they get a ticket? You know, did I issue a ticket to these guys? He's thinking this. And as soon as he sees them, then he becomes Mahaprabhu. The trident it disappears. The drum's gone. And his hands fall down. The Shivite is not so excited. And he puts the Lord down. And then the Lord just removes the entire scene. The Shivite somewhat disappears and the demigods are no longer to be seen. The doors are once again shut. On another occasion, a Brahmana appears and he's not allowed. And this Brahmana becomes so angry that how can this Lord, who is meant to be so munificent, magnanimous, merciful, is not allowing me? He barges in. And he's so upset that he takes his Brahman thread and he breaks it and he curses Gauranga Mahaprabhu. I mean, how can you curse Swatantra? The Lord is Swatantra, most independent, and he's cursed by a Brahmana. And his curse is that just like you are not allowing me in your home, you will have to leave your home and you will not be allowed. And hence, of course, Mahaprabhu takes this as a blessing, because that means he has to take sannyas. When Sribas Thakur hears this, Sribas Thakur, he in the amazing Panchatattva, you see Thakur Sribas, he's like a young bhakta, but he's not. He's 30 years senior to Mahaprabhu. So he's like Mahaprabhu's father. And when Mahaprabhu is teaching all these students, all this philosophy, on one occasion, Sribas Thakur, he comes across the Lord in the street. And he just avoids Mahaprabhu. He crosses the street. He goes on the other side. And Mahaprabhu is thinking, have I offended Dad? He goes across and he pays obeisance and says, have I offended you? What's wrong, Dad? What have I done? And Dad says to him, well, why are you wasting your time? You're only here for 48 years, he says. It's about time that you stop your nonsense teaching and inaugurate the Sangitan movement. I have done so, the Thakur says, I have done so prior to your appearance. The kirtan was going on prior to the appearance of the Lord. Prior to the birth of the Lord in Sri Basangan, there was kirtan. So what change have you brought? Inaugurate the Sangitan movement. You have limited time. Save everyone. Become magnanimous and merciful. You're not. So he sees that, okay, Dad's upset with me. And immediately he then goes back home to the house of Jagannath Mishra. And he concludes that, okay, no more teaching. Now I'll begin the inauguration of the Sankirtan movement. Now I really begin dancing. And so these are the pastimes of the Lord. And they're continuous. If anyone gets a copy of the Chaitanya Mangal, it's absolute nectar. However, it is karun. It is gambir. Gambir means again, you know, quite heavy. But it's nectar. So thank you very much for listening. We have just 4 minutes left. I do apologize for going on and on, on and on and on. If there are any comments and corrections, gladly accepted. Any questions, Govinda Prabhu is here, and so is Prayojan Prabhu in his chariot, on his chariot. With his red hat on. Grantharaj Srimad Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki. Thank you, Prabhus. Hare Krishna. Vanchikalpatrubhascha kripa sindhubhayo cha patitanam babunebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo.